go down the hallway and up the ramp, or just down to the right. We'll try to keep it brief so you don't, so you're not here for too long. My name is Lindsay Ballou. I'm with the Dudley Chamber of Commerce, and I currently chair the Community Relations Group within the Chamber of Commerce. And I want to thank you for being here today to talk about the Convention and Visitors Bureau and what the future will be for the City of Dudley. This is the second in our series. We had a meeting here last week to talk about the business licensing within the City of Dunwoody. And we have a few more, I think that Bob may talk about. We have about two or three more set up coming up soon. So I guess with that, I'm going to kick off to Bob and the panel. Okay.
Well, thank you. All right, I'm Bob Dallas, and I have the privilege now of serving as the chairman of the Dunwoody Planning Commission, which is a great thing. And during the daytime, throughout the state, I serve as the director of the Governor's Office of Highway Safety. And what we're here to do today is just briefly discuss the hotel motel tax and the Convention and Visitors Bureau concept, which arises out of that. And I'm just going to take a couple minutes to give you a little bit of the historical perspective of where we are and why we're asking the questions. Of course, before we were in DeKalb County, and just recently, less than a year now, have been a city. And as part of our city charter, we were allowed to create a Convention and Visitors Bureau. Heretofore, the interests of the perimeter area, which makes up Dunwoody and contains our hotels, of which Craig Hilliard is here from one of those, the proceeds of the hotel motel tax were contracted out through to the DeKalb Convention and Visitors Bureau. And they provided the marketing services for the hotels here, primarily focused on the non-peak times, which would be the Thursday through Sunday time period, because business peak is the Monday through Thursday. And my understanding is it tended to produce about, in terms of the tax, which is 5% of the charges, about 60,000 or 50,000 to 60,000 a month, as I recollect, and that money was used as part of the overall marketing of the DeKalb Convention and Visitors Bureau. Under state law, the way the system works is that a 5% tax can be levied by a jurisdiction, 3% can be used by that jurisdiction to be used for its general purpose fund, and that 2% has to be set aside to be used for specific marketing related activity associated with the tourism and convention or hotel type business within that area that generates the fund. And under state law, the organizations which are allowed to administer those funds tend to fall down into two categories. One is an authority model, and the other one is a 501c6 model. And my understanding is in the state of Georgia, about three-quarters of them are the C6, and about a quarter of them are the authority model. In terms of how the specifics of the governance of them are set up, my understanding is that the governing authority, whether it's a city, defines exactly, you know, the mechanism that is set up under each of those models. So whether it's an authority or a C6, you know, the size of the board, the membership of the board, and the governance structure would be set up by whatever the ordinance is within the jurisdiction that applies to that area. So the question then becomes for the City of Dunwoody, what's the most effective way to achieve our overall objectives? And, you know, Dunwoody is, you know, the opportunity is just so unique. I mean, there's so many of us that were involved with the creation of the city from, the last group, which was Dunwoody, yes, but the years before that, which was Citizens for Dunwoody, which the mayor and city council members here have been involved with. And, you know, that all together kind of culminated in a very good effort to get an 82% vote. And, you know, there's so many reasons why people wanted a city, whether it's for good police protection, whether it's for good zoning, code enforcement. But I think across the board, all of us made a pretty good commitment, as I recollect, irrespective of where we were coming at it, that we could do this for about the same cost as DeKalb County did for us and maintain about the same level of service. Beyond that, improving the levels of service and things of that nature, then, you know, we would talk about where additional revenues would come. But that's kind of the backdrop. I look at this and I'll then turn it over to first Teresa, and thank you very much for being here, because you do have the experience, unlike we amateurs. Is that, you know, the decisions that we make with respect to things such as this at the end of the day do have an impact on what taxes we pay as citizens and homeowners within Dunwoody. Because if you have a very successful business community, a very successful convention and visitors bureau, then it'll produce good sums of money to help maintain the city and good sums of money to help market the city effectively. And I think that it's fair to say that we have demonstrated pretty clearly across the board from the new city council to everybody involved that we do want to be a very business-friendly city. We know we have a great asset in Perimeter Center, and we have many other great assets as well. So with that, what we're doing here today, and we have one more panelist on the way, is taking the opportunity for those in some of the other jurisdictions that have demonstrated newness on the one side to experience on the other side with respect to effective organizations that have taken their hotel motel tax and met the objectives of their jurisdictions. So to my left, we have Teresa Jenkins. She's the executive director of the Marietta Welcome Center and Visitors Bureau. And as such, I'd like to turn it over to you, Teresa,
okay,
at this point.
Well, thank you. I was just going to give you a little bit of a background of the Marietta Welcome Center and Visitors Bureau, how we were set up. You know, there's not one formula throughout the state. Okay, this is it. This is how you do it. They're all individual. They're all different. And we all were set up in different ways and for different reasons. But we were set up in 1984. The first step was they wanted a welcome center first before they even wanted a destination marketing organization. So we were set up as the Welcome Center, and then a year later, we were incorporated as the 501c6 as the destination marketing organization for the city of Marietta. And the reason we were set up initially was because it was our sesquicentennial, 150th birthday. I always have to get that out. We are the hotel, the contract holder for the hotel lodging tax for the city of Marietta. And our focus is the group and leisure travel. Now, there is a CVB in Cobb County. We are a city CVB. We were set up actually 2 years before the Cobb County CVB was set up. And it worked out very well because their focus, being down in the Galleria area, was very heavily meetings and conventions, where ours was the leisure traveler group market, cultural heritage tourist. So we learned to work very closely together with the Cobb CVB. Initially, we had a 5% tax base. At that point, 3% of the tax went into the general fund of the city of Marietta. The 2% tax was then split between the Cobb CVB and the Marietta CVB. And Judy, help me remember, when did the authority go into effect? Do you remember?
Well, 91 is when they changed the law.
Changed the law, thank you. In 1991, they changed the law and enacted an authority. At that point, because we took the hotel motel tax up to 8% at that point, the city of Marietta did something very smart. They did an agreement with the authority that they kept 4% of the tax, 3% to the 3% to the general fund and 1% to the Marietta CVB. The other 4% then went to the convention authority for the building of the Cobb Gallery Authority and eventually the Marietta Conference Center. So that's how it was set up in Cobb County. I had at least had a designated amount of, or designated percentage of money that went into my program. We put on 2 events a year that brings an additional revenue stream. Taste of Marietta, which is this Sunday, so you're actually very lucky to get me today. Judy had to come and kidnap me and drive me here. And our annual Marietta Pilgrimage Home Tour, and that brings in an additional $60,000, $70,000 a year in revenue stream. We have an independent board. The city does appoint 2 members to that board. But the city, our contract is on a yearly basis. The city does approve our budget and our marketing plan. So we do the budget. It's approved by the board first. That was the first step, and then we send it to the city, and the council does have to approve it. And you mentioned what this does in taxes. When you have a destination marketing organization, or DMO, the tax relief for the city of Marietta, and I meant to look up the exact figure before I came here, and I apologize because I did not do that, but it averages between 150 to 200 people, I mean, dollars per person in the city of Marietta. The city of Marietta, so you can figure that, because we have about 60,000, which is actually the population of the city of Marietta, that's the tax relief. In other words, if you live in the city of Marietta and the taxes generated by tourism did not exist, our program did not exist, you would pay probably about $200 more per person in taxes. So we think we survey that, you know, that is a very valuable source that resource that we serve to the city of Marietta. Also, being a 501 organization helps us, enables us to get grant dollars. And we have been very proactive in getting several grants, including a local welcome center grant, tourism marketing grants, that add to our budget. And I'd have to go back and, but you know, on average, we probably get about $20,000 to $25,000 a year in grants. So this does give us an additional revenue stream. And that money is usually spent strictly on tourism marketing. And our program of work, we do, you know, just what everybody else does. I won't go into detail, but for a destination marketing organization, you put the monies into tourism promotions, advertising. We do trade shows to go and encourage bus travel or family reunions or whatever to come and stay in our hotels. Of course, it pays for administrative salaries and utilities and all that stuff, too. Our office, by the way, is in the old train depot on the Marietta Square. So if you're ever up in Marietta, we'd love to have you stop by and see us. And I'd be happy to answer any questions. I know. Case starts at 11 o'clock and goes to 7, and the weather report looks very good, and we're expecting about 100,000 people on the square.
Let me ask you a quick question. When the authority was set up, mm-hmm. You mentioned that it was set up primarily to serve as a funding stream to, I guess, for the bonds to build the Galleria facility.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I just want to clarify that.
Yes.
But then, if there were a couple questions. Sure, you had your hand up.
Bruce Green.
Okay, well, come on up here, Bruce. And
Bruce.
Well, he's here. And Councilman Ross.
You mentioned the saves of taxpayers of Marietta $200. Are you at 8% or 5% there?
We are at 8%.
Okay.
Of that, we only the destination marketing organization, us, only gets the
1%. 1%.
Mm-hmm.
The other 1% goes to the
city. 3% goes to the city general fund, and 4% goes to the Galleria Authority, which it's split between that and our conference center, because they manage that. The authority is over the money for the conference center as well as the Galleria Authority.
Is that the Cobb Convention and Visitors Bureau?
No, that is the Cobb Galleria Authority. The Cobb CBB exists separate of that.
That for the rest of Cobb County.
For the rest of Cobb County.
And they're DMO.
And they're DMO too.
So where are the savings to the city?
The savings are in the fact that the general, and again, I apologize, I walked off and did not bring the, Judy, do you remember what taxes generated in Cobb County? I have it broken down.
The impact of tourism in Cobb County was $1.3 billion
in
2007.
Marietta, around $200 million, somewhere in there.
And taxes saved because tourism...
Taxes generated, how many...
Taxes generated, I have to go back. I don't
know
taxes generated. But tax savings to each homeowner in Cobb County was $317.
Yeah.
Based on the fact that those people come in and shop and pay sales tax in addition to...
So you're looking at the multiplier effect.
Yes.
But no, not the multiplier effect. We're looking at the amount of taxes generated by tourists. We have that information, even though I walked off and left it back at the office. We can give you that figure, and I'll be happy to provide that to you when I get back. But we can say people staying in hotels, people staying in, you know, shopping on the square, eating in the restaurants, generated this much in tax revenue. If that tax revenue didn't exist, if these tourists weren't there spending that money, then that's where the tax relief figure comes in. Then your individuals would be paying that much more tax.
Councilman Winstein had a question, I believe.
Yeah. Just to help me get a sense for how you guys would compare in size to us, can you give us some idea of what your budget size is?
Yeah, our budget size is about $350,000. We're relatively small.
Do you guys have a full-time director?
I am the full-time director. We have a full-time staff of 3. And then we have 3 additional part-time people.
But you have a lot of partners.
Lots of partners, and we utilize volunteers greatly, too.
Is that 3 including you? Or
correct.
Three,
do you have a breakdown about how much of your budget's overhead, in terms of how much is you and the 2 full-time and the computers and the rent and whatever else? How much is overhead versus how much is actually spent on mm-hmm. with heads and beds?
I would say it's about, and this is just a wild guess, I'm thinking, probably it's about a third, maybe a third is spent in administrative and overhead and that type of thing, utilities. The rest is spent in marketing. Apple shows second.
Last question. You talked about the fact that the city appoints two board members. Mm-hmm. How big is the board, and how do the rest of the board members get selected?
It's an independent board. We have elections every year. We have nominations. People come in and say, oh, we want someone. So we always try to have hospitality members on the board. We are not set up. Some are in the legislation say you've got to have so many hoteliers, you've got to have so many restaurant people. Ours was not set up that way, but we do try. We have two hotel people on the board. We have several of the shop owners, a restaurant owner, and a couple of our attraction members are on there. So we have 12 total board members, 12 or 13.
Jack, who determines, I know you try to get a good cross-section, sounds like you have it. Who makes that, is it yourself that kind of makes the determination on
the board?
Yeah, on the...
Who votes?
Well, actually, the board is a self-enabling board. The board elects itself. The president appoints a nominating committee, and the nominating committee, I don't serve on it, but I do work with them because people usually are the one. I'm a point of contact person. If anybody's interested in serving on the board, they usually come by and say, hey, I'm interested in serving. I keep a list. I present that. I say, here's some people that have expressed interest. Over the, and then, you know, okay, so it's right now rotating off. Let's remember we got to have a hotel person, or we got to have, you know, let's remember we got to have a restaurant person kind of thing.
Thank you.
Let me get two more comments and then we'll let Bruce speak. Yes, in back. You're Teresa.
Am I correct in saying that you're not membership based, correct?
Correct. I am not membership based. Right.
Whereas Cobb was member, it is membership based. I'm no longer with Cobb CBB, but I was there for 21 years. And they are membership-based, and their bylaws dictate the board of directors.
Correct.
It is four-appointed, and then they have member-elected.
So I know there are a variety of them out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a city council on your board?
Yes, I have a city council person on my board.
I know you said that they could appoint you.
Mm-hmm. At the city council, we have one of our city councilmen, and then our director of economic development director is on my board.
Well, just,
Tracy, if you can get those numbers to me, I'll make sure everyone
okay.
gets that information.
In the back? Yes, ma'am.
I was just wondering, on the raise for the events that you have, there's Jeff Marietta, and I think the other one is the fall.
The pilgrimage, Marietta Pilgrimage.
Where does that go? Does that go into your overall fund? Or?
It goes into my overall fund. It's spent 100% on marketing.
So that increases to $350?
Yeah, that's included in the $350, I'm sorry.
Next,
thank you very much.
We have Bruce Green. He's with the Georgia Department of Economic Development. Thank you very much for being here, Bruce. So I turn the table over to you.
Well, I'm here to kind of hopefully address some general questions because I'm not general counsel for our department, but I do. My prior experience was working over at Georgia Municipal Association, so I worked with the city governments, and then I worked with the Department of Community Affairs. And the reason I'm mentioning those is because as you enter into this dialogue and this investigation of how you want to base the tourism activities here, or either a CBD or through the chamber. I'll share some things with you that we see across the state. To my knowledge, we do not have an enabling piece of legislation like we do with industrial development authorities and downtown development authorities. There is a specific state statute that spells out exactly how those authorities are to be created and how they are to be run. And it leaves the local community with some degree of creativity, but still the parameters are spelled out. In the OCGA, the Official Code of Georgia Annotated, there is a section in the Revenue Code section, 48.13.51, if you Google it. And it's a very, very complex piece of statute. And what has happened over a series of decades from the 1960s is that statute has been amended and amended and amended. At the Georgia Department of Community Affairs, they are responsible for receiving a report that will be filed with whomever is collecting that hotel motel tax and how it is to be managed or how it is being managed. In most recent years, there's been an oversight committee that was created when there is a concern voiced by either a citizen or any group in the community that those tax funds are not being used the way that they should be. that oversight committee will and can investigate it. And sometimes I sit in on that committee meeting for one of our deputy commissioners. So it's rare, but occasionally local governments are brought before that committee to explain why they're doing what they're doing. Interestingly enough, in the reports that are filed by local governments out there across the state of Georgia, there are 22-plus reports that delineate the different types of CDDs or taxation agreements, if you will. So again, it's quite complex. When you sit down and look at the code, if you read through the code directly, what you'll see is there's a basic paragraph that explains the taxation, and then there are like a number of paragraphs that say, notwithstanding to the above provisions, and then you'll get into very case-specific examples of like Cobb or some other communities that had a paragraph added to the state statute that allowed them to do certain things. So when you talk about CDDs and you talk to other people about CDDs, you need to understand they're all different animals. They bear the same name, but their functionality is quite different. Another point, to my knowledge, there are some CDDs that have the word authority attached to their name. Now, I was checking with DCA before I came over here, but was unable to get through to the person I needed to speak to, but I am not aware of any CDD that can self-tax. Because typically in Georgia, when you use the word authority, most of the time, that would indicate that that authority may have the power, if it's a constitutionally created authority, and we don't have any more of those, or if it's a statutorily created authority. I think y'all might have mentioned earlier that in the legislation, or in the code, excuse me, it says that that a CDD can be created by a local act, but that local act is actually created through the General Assembly. And the powers such that are borne across or carried over to that CDD are spelled out in that local act. And again, there are many, many different varieties of these things. I wish that I could give you a matrix that we have collected, but we have not yet done that. It's sort of kind of like herding cats. But
three-dimensional as well.
Yes, yeah, it's a Rubik's right. Cube of CDDs. But to share, as I say, a couple of things with you. In the first paragraph of the code, it clearly says that although there may be a local provision or a local ordinance in effect, that nothing in that local ordinance can be contrary to the state code, which means that there is some degree of conformity that you have to meet. And of course, with either your city or county attorney, you could sit down and work through that. As well as to the city of Dunwoody, the general counsel over at GMA can be very helpful to you to work on that. You can give Susan a call, and she's wonderful. Let's see.
She was very helpful to us in Sandy Springs when we were getting ours.
Right. They are. And of course, their client is the city of Dunwoody. But again, and then the Georgia Association of CDDs, these ladies have been involved with that organization. That is the professional nonprofit organization that represents those bodies out across our state. And departmentally, we have just a working relationship with them. So that's kind of some generalities. And as I say, I'm not an attorney, but I can at least kind of point you to. And another thing, all authorities by name have to register with the Secretary of State, but also have to register with the Department of Community Affairs. And subsequently each year, as I mentioned, they have to file this report with the Department of Community Affairs. There are two people on staff over there that are quite fluent in this code section, and I would recommend that one or some of you talk to those two people. The one gentleman is Mike Bush. Mike, and then Bush is B-U-S-H. He is the director of the Office of Reporting and Surveys, and then the gentleman that works specifically with the hotel motel tax code and law is Patrick Vickers. And you can Google the Department of Community Affairs and get right into their staff list and get their number. I'll give you the general number to that department. It is area code 404-679-4940. And if someone on council or whomever wants to talk to them, they can be very helpful in explaining to you about the particular provisions within the code and which might be applicable for you.
Let me ask you one question, Bruce. It's come up that between a C6 model versus an authority model at that level, that the authority, as I understand it, has the ability to issue bonds with respect to doing things akin to what I heard was done with the
Galleria
one. And a C6 has the ability to, like you all, attract grants. Mm-hmm. are those two distinguishing things where one has, one can do one of those and the other can do the other, but you don't have one that can do both?
And again, that's kind of a multi-pronged question in this regard because of the way the law is complex and written. If in your enabling legislation at the local level, the local act that is passed to create the Dunwoody CDD, you have to spell that out. You have to get your General Assembly member and your senator to understand what is the powers that you want, and then they work within the General Revenue Code to make sure that you're not, remember it says, must be in conformity with this code. So it depends on what you want to do. Are you funding and building a conference facility? Are there complex issues that you have to deal with? Then you would want to make sure that in your code, which remember, once it's written, you don't go in every week and ask them to change
it. That's right.
You kind of get what you want to begin with. So to talk about Marietta or Cobb, they were created separately. And right. As these two ladies will tell you, their capacity to do certain things may vary. And let me give you a parallel example. I come out of a downtown redevelopment background. In Georgia, we have downtown development authorities. Back in the 1960s, they were constitutionally created. Some were given the power to actually tax, and that's a subset I want to mention. To my knowledge, and I'm not saying it's not out there, but I don't think any CDB has the power to tax. They must have a memorandum of agreement with the local government, who is the collector of the bed tax, and then they, in turn, have a contract that spells out what they will carry out. The contract is, again, locally based, but in conformity with the state revenue code.
Okay.
Let me see if I can keep on the exact answer that you're looking for. So to answer your question, the C6, the nonprofit, you know, again, we don't know of any nonprofits that can tax, or typically that issue bonds, but authorities in Georgia, depending on how they're created, do have the ability to issue bonds. But you know this, the difference between a general obligation and a revenue bond, because most entities, industrial development authorities, or downtown development authorities, or CDB authorities, the statute is pretty clear when it says they cannot indebt the general public, the government. So generally you have to either
ask,
that's correct, you go for a revenue bond, and there's some stream of revenue that pays off that indebtedness. And generally that revenue comes from the conference facilities, the operating net profit. Okay, was that a long answer to your question?
No, that's exactly what it, it's not much such a... That was an answer to my question exactly. I was looking for an answer to.
And I'll share this with you. In many cases, we have authorities that have memorandums of understanding with 501c3s and c6s, and they carry out a part of the workload, if you will, for the authority. So that it's a balance that you can find different kind of permutations of this thing.
Councilmember Wittenstein had a question.
Yeah, there is some concern in Dunwoody about the idea that authority might go out and issue revenue bonds. If we wanted to craft an authority that didn't have the power to do that, we'd simply not grant them that power, right?
That's correct. Okay. Through the local act created by the General Assembly, because the General Assembly is transferring that power from the dome down to the local council.
But the we is important. It's not you council members. The we is our delegation.
Agreed. Although we're in a somewhat interesting position here. Our Convention of Visitors Bureau was actually created in our charter.
Yeah, well,
it already exists. Yeah. The General Assembly has already passed the enabling legislation.
Right.
There's one line. It says...
But it doesn't say what it is.
And Visitors Bureau is hereby created.
Okay. So no particular power
is
described within that line of the statute or that...
Right, there's no other... It's just the one sentence.
Work for attorneys, I think.
So I'm not quite sure whether we have to go back to get something else done or whether that grants us the power as a city council to then flesh out the T's and C's of the governance.
Now, and not being an attorney, but I can tell you upon my experience what I would sense is that the city council, if it were so given the powers within its charter of incorporation, that if you have the power to issue bonds, you could have a memorandum of agreement with the CDB and transfer or carry out a project with them. I mean, or does the city of Dunwoody have a development authority?
They do. And then that's been set up and staffed with a chair and a full board.
And what you would want to do is to check and see how was that development authority created. I can almost guarantee you it was not constitutionally created because we ceased doing that after H3. But that it was statutorily created, and at the moment of creation in the General Assembly, were there articles of incorporation that were attached to or included in the local act that created that authority? to try to drill down to find who's got the power to issue bonds. That's what I would suggest, that you just kind of check your language.
At the end of the day, it's the council that has to approve that authority.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a fair question, but it is one sentence of approximately 10 or 15 words, maybe. And that's a fair question.
Which is a good lead-in for me.
It is. If there's any other questions, Gabe Sterling is the vice chairman of the Sandy Springs Convention and Visitors Bureau, our city next door.
So, Gabe? We paved the way, I guess. We had a similar situation where, in our enabling legislation in the charter, it basically said, hey, guess what, you get a CVB, or a DMO, or whatever the heck they call it now. And when we did, we opted for the C6 as the, when we examined it, it was the most flexible. What we did in our, the way we built ours is, the mayor gets to appoint all members of the CVB, and it's signed off on by council. So their four-year terms basically goes along with the mayor's term. Once the mayor goes on, a new set of people will get appointed. We have one hospitality-type person on our board, which is a restaurateur. We intentionally stayed away from hoteliers serving on the board themselves, because we have 23 different properties now. So there's always going to be potential that, well, he sit on the board, of course the stuff they're going to do is even more geared towards him. And whether it's real or not, there's almost always going to be that perception, unfortunately, was what we came to the conclusion of. Unless you have a bunch of properties that work well together, which in some cases we do, in some cases we don't. We came out of this in a much more confrontational manner than y'all did with DeKalb. Basically, the Atlanta CVB was running around saying they were going to sue us out of existence the second we came in and started taking the tax money in. The C6, we saw, gave us the opportunity to be the most flexible, get the grant money. And we've got, with 23 different properties, I think our portion just in our hospitality and tourism board is about $1.2 million. Now, we do that with an insanely small staff. We have three people. Now, as Teresa will tell you, mm-hmm. we have a rock star. So let me tell you, the most important thing you can do is, who's ever going to serve on your board, like in any business, you've got to hire right. They will help you jump through all these hoops and ladders that they were just discussing over here. And our friends at the Department of Community Affairs of late have become much more strict in their interpretation of how these tax dollars are used. Because what happened through the 80s and 90s, for a long period of time, people were like, well, lighting sidewalks helps bring tourists. So they started using the monies for those kind of things. We use all of our money almost exclusively for marketing to the rest of the United States. Our market focus is mainly in the bordering states. But we do go as far as doing the national things like the parade magazines, the pullouts, things like that. And we get literally thousands of leads a month. Now, how many of those turn into heads and beds? We're not really sure. We have no good way of tracking that right now, but we've only started doing this. And our hotels are much happier with what we're doing for them than what the ACVB was doing for them before. The focus you can get for focusing on a small community like Dunwoody, similar to Sandy Springs, is twofold, in my opinion. You can brand yourself. Dunwoody is a brand in and of themselves way ahead of where Sandy Springs was when we started. Dunwoody's already known. Hell, we had to fight with y'all about toppers for the road signs. We know this. But Dunwoody's a known entity as a high-end brand. You can use those monies to reinforce that. We intentionally try to keep our staff small because we want those dollars going towards advertising over and over and over again. We don't run any of our own events. We advertise the events of the nonprofits in our community, like the Sandy Springs Festival. Or the other thing that's a really large event coming up this Sunday that starts at, 6:30 a.m., so if you can come to ours first.
Yeah, they got a testimonial.
we've got an arts festival in the Sandy Springs Cycling Challenge with the finals of the Southeastern Crit Series, along with an arts festival. So if any of y'all want to head over and help us out, we'd really appreciate it. It's a free event, so hopefully it'll be a beautiful day. But we keep our staff small. We keep the dollars going outwards. We intentionally looked at possibly using an authority model at some level, because people wanted to do a museum, see if we could maybe partner with Heritage Sandy Springs, where we already had a property. We're actually working on getting another museum in town right now. But we decided that letting other groups handle the direction of that was our main goal, and helping them advertise it, because that's what our job is to advertise. And that was what we decided early on. The types of things we're looking at are going to be run by 501c3s, and we use our board to help fundraise for them. Like our bike race. Diane Fries is a councilwoman who serves on the board, and Mayor Galambos is also our chairman of the board. The bike race is sort of an offshoot of the hospitality committee, but it is not of the hospitality committee. It is a totally separate entity. We've set up our own 501c3, similar to the Taste of Sandy Springs,
which will be coming up at the end of May. It's a 501c3 on its own. Our heritage group we work with has the same things festival. It's on 501c3. So working with the entities we already had that were established allowed us to stretch those dollars and get more out of them. If you look at Sandy Springs in comparison to Atlanta, Georgia, Fulton County, and DeKalb County, our RevPAR, which I know is higher than most of them, our nights in beds on weekends is higher, and it has stepped up since we became our own city. And we can't directly attribute that to what we've been doing, but the hoteliers know those weekends it's harder to get people in, you know, and that's what we really focus on. DeKalb County has been very successful with family reunions. We focus on that. We're very similar to Teresa's model because Kim, who's our executive director, don't try to hire her away. We'll just keep paying her more. Maybe you should try to hire her away and help her out. But when we focused on those things, we tried to make sure that all of our dollars are going to be helping the hoteliers. And we have monthly meetings with them. They have a council that comes in and tells us what they think we might need to be doing. But Kim has been around so long, like I said, if you hire right, you will overcome a lot of the problems you could possibly have. Like I said, when the ACVB was threatened to sue us, we needed to make sure we were very, very tight in how we spent our money properly and account for every dollar. I mean, I've been told about people that have museums and they tried, you can't spend money, as I understand the rules on this, on paying for staff costs at other people's things. You can't do it. And even if you have your own employee, say the authority hires somebody, again, this is how I understand it, I was talking to some of the professionals in this, you can't decide what you're going to pay them. There's a formula that goes with the amount of money you bring in versus the heads in beds versus what you're advertising versus what it costs to run these things. You can't just make decisions like an independent business. There's a lot of oversight. And there's a lot of clawback now because of what was going on with people abusing these dollars. We are also at the 8%. In our view, as you know, we are a very conservative group in Sandy Springs, is the dollars we spend are designed to help the hoteliers keep the revenues up and have a multiplier effect, not in terms of just people spending money where we are, but the more heads and beds we get, the higher our overall tax revenue is, because ours is split three ways as well. Ours goes to the World Congress Center. We were stuck with that because it was left over from Fulton County time. The general fund, and for us, I think we get 3%. Our general fund gets 1 or 2%, and the remaining 3 or 4% goes down to the Congress Center, World Congress Center. And I was amazed at how much money we actually throw off. And we talk about staff. Alfred and Roswell have massive staffs, 12, 14 people on a much smaller base. And they are membership-based and they take the taxes. I mean, so they have extra money all the time. And they're at $400,000 in Roswell, I think is what their annual budget is, because they only have a few properties. But the political side of getting through this stuff was a little hairy at first. But as long as you, like I said, hiring right is the most important thing. And one of the examples, like when I talked to somebody from another city that didn't want to be named, basically, they said, using these kind of dollars to fund something outside of a welcome center, it was like buying a boat. You know, buying a boat is really pretty. I had a lot of fun on boats, but it's a giant hole in which to throw money. So you've got to be careful in any decisions anybody makes on funding things without knowing those revenue bonds will be taken care of all the way through. I mean, I think Teresa would...
Yeah, I would agree with you 100%. And one thing I wanted to add, Mariette, to make a little more confusion, Mariette also has auto rental tax. And that is set up...
Wait, we can do that? Cool.
Yeah. Hey, guys, I've been doing auto rental tax. Yeah. And we use that auto rental tax, and I'm not exactly sure the total amount, but I think it's right around $500,000 a year. And that's what we use to fund museums, things like that. So that does not come out of the hotel tax.
That's all. Cobb County or Marietta?
It's strictly Marietta.
Okay.
Cobb doesn't have it. They're talking about it, but they don't have it.
Yeah.
What's your budget?
1.2.
Mm-hmm.
23 hotels. Yeah. 22 or 23, I always forget because we're getting a new one that's getting built soon. I can't remember the new number. 22?
Yeah,
22. I'll defer to the expert in the back.
One of the things I can tell you, we will collaborate with you because most of our hotels are sitting right next to yours.
And that's one of the things I definitely want to, I hate this word, but reach out to our friends in Dunwoody. We want to definitely, because we're tied with Perimeter CID. We can do stuff, large things. I mean, we can definitely all help each other, and we want to be able to do that.
We've just signed an agreement with DeKalb County. They're 501c6. They have 14 people on their payroll already. They advertise in magazines such as Old, Oxygen, National Magazines. we do have statistics in terms of conversion rate between how many leads are generated and how many actually turn into a head and a bed in the five hotels that are located in Denver. And what we came up with is for every dollar of taxes collected, they spend $122 to put one person in one room for one night, which doesn't seem to me to be a very effective way of running an organization.
Do you want to comment on...
If you have that data, can you comment? I don't have the data. Off. I mean, Kim would be, like I said, she's much smarter than me. We pay her to be that way. What's that?
Do you do web app?
Yes, we do. In fact, we just got a grant with our good friends over in the state to do new technology with our web advertising. We've launched an avatar, and we're trying to brand that stuff out. We've got our websites up and running, which we keep on growing. I've been a strong advocate, we haven't done it yet, of buying small, medium markets in the bordering states on cable advertising. We don't have a good way of following this stuff yet, quite honestly, but I've looked at this in two different ways, in my opinion. We are focusing on heads and beds, but for us, I've used it as a branding opportunity because nobody knows what the heck we are. I mean, and what our main focus has been is to try to explain we are the center of everything. We're 400, 285, and you're on 785. Sandy Springs is right there in the center. If you're going to do anything in the metro Atlanta area, you need to come. If you want to go to the Kangaroo Farm and then go down to the Coca-Cola Center, guess what? Stay in Sandy Springs. You know, if you want to play golf. You want to play golf in Marietta and go shopping at the Mall of Georgia and stay in Sandy Springs. I know what you're saying, Danny, in terms of are we getting a cost-effective use of these dollars? But we are limited in what we're allowed to spend these dollars on. And we understand that on the front end, and we're trying to leverage them as much as we can. And it's one of the things that's more of a multiplier effect. What we've been doing is we've slowly been getting those leads and building on them and building what we call almost a house list of people who are, we know are interested in traveling, which, you know, falls into young families and people with disposable income, you know, 45 and up to about 60 who will be doing weekend traveling and day traveling with families. And focusing on them, we've also really focused on the Christian and Jewish travel communities. We've been advertising, what is the name of that magazine for the Christian event planners? Do you know what that one is?
Traveling on Faith.
Traveling on Faith is one of the ones we really focus on. Very niche things. And then we also do the broad things like Parade Magazine and stuff, which we always get lots of leads on. But understand, those aren't just for Sandy Springs. What happens is they check off this box, and if you're in that advertising segment, you get the lead. It's up to your staff to do the follow-up to convert them to a head in a bed.
That's
Let me get Craig.
Craig.
I want to go back to one of Teresa's earlier points. Okay. She was talking about the displacement of taxes that residents would have to pay. So you must know, as opposed to looking at it in terms of heads and beds, what's the revenue generated per dollar invested?
We know that for, and this is general, because this is the same, we use the TIA, it's not Travel Industry of America anymore, help me.
I
know you do that. Oh, God, they changed their name.
The national group, we know what it is.
Formerly Travel Industry of America is the research we use. We know for every dollar invested, there's a $7 return. That's throughout Georgia. That's the same as it is in Marietta County. I mean, it's pretty average.
And that's within 90 days.
Right.
You were going to say something
before. I was going to go back to the comment you made about, you know, spending what the dollar spent and how much it would cost to bring a person in for every dollar of advertising. One of the things we did with our regional group, which is our Atlanta Metro Travel Association, is we hired Judy Randall and Associates to do a massive research project for us. That was about $45,000. And I would be and I know Kim has a copy of it, and I would be happy to share a copy. Brittany can get you a copy of it for y'all. But it talked about who your traveler was and, you know, researched what the placements were, where you were advertising. That might be something y'all want to look at doing some of your dollars on.
Do either of you know what the average spend is per visitor to your respective areas?
I can find out.
150? No.
It depends on whether or not it's a meetings market or
I'm talking about average.
We used to do $256.25 a night for meetings and conventions. Right. That included a meeting market.
What we're told by BBCB is that for every dollar spent in a hotel, there's more money spent in the perimeter center
is correct.
Right.
Lodging is like your number three.
That's right.
Eating and eating and shopping are hierarchy.
Right.
And one and two.
And I don't know how y'all do your sales tax breakouts for DeKalb County or what y'all's deal is on that.
We don't have, for us
in Sandy Springs, we get our percentage population base. So right. The more people we drive into our area, the better off we are.
DeKalb County don't
really
pay this.
Both of you have 8% hotel tax, is that correct?
We inherited in Sandy Springs, we just didn't change it from what we had in Fulton.
When did yours go to 8% and why?
1991, because of the Cobb Galleria Center, that's when they created the authority.
And what was
anytime you
that?
Go to an 8%, you have to create an authority.
Exactly. Right. And what was it before that?
It was five.
Mm-hmm.
Six at one point for about 6 months because of something that Atlanta did with the World Congress Center. So we actually went from 6 to 8 in the records, but we were only at 6 or about 6.
Yeah.
And ours was similar to the World Congress Center, bumps us up when we were Fulton County before.
Hold on, Jeff.
Yeah, hold on. Robert, we've seen this. Had a hard break. So.
Okay, you got to go. Okay.
I want to ask one quick question before I go.
Sure.
You guys are a 501c6.
Yeah.
But your board is appointed by the city council.
Mm-hmm.
What would be different if you were authority? You said that gave you more flexibility.
We can get grant money in.
Authorities can't get grants?
No, they can't. They're flat-out precluded from that, as I understand the way the controlling statutes look over that. That was one of the biggest things that we saw. And also, our concept when we were talking about this with Eva and the council and Ashley and those people was that we don't necessarily... Authorities are almost... I don't want to say ideologically away from us, but giving more power to people out there to tax, even if it's a revenue stream up there, we felt like it should stay specifically in the city council. I mean, the same way we've put the tax caps in ours, keeping everything within the city council was a better way to have overall accountability. I mean, think about how we put together our voting. I mean, everybody gets up or down one time. There's no rolling thing. There's no institutional thing. If we screw up so bad they vote everybody out, that's fine. So that's sort of our mindset when we did these things. We didn't want to spread authorities around because those tend to take steps away from voters who are supposed to be holding everybody accountable. That was sort of our mindset. Now, I'm not saying one is right or one is wrong for whatever reason, but it was what we chose.
If we created an authority that didn't have the power to issue bonds or tax, what would be different?
You couldn't get the grant money.
Okay, so it's just
that's a large part of it. That's a big deal.
I'm trying to figure out.
That was a large part of it. And also, like I said, it takes a step of accountability away from our opinion of looking at how it was going to be held up by the city council before. So that was the thought process that went into it.
So you done when you just received a grant for redoing Bellamy Parkway.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
That was taken over from the cab. You will.
We received a grant for doing sidewalks and making bikes, Bellamy and more bikes, little community, for one of our new schools. The city of Bellamy can receive grants.
They can, you're right.
We can receive grants and pass those grants through if we desire to.
You may not be able to. It's an authority at that point.
That's not what I
hear. Okay. That's why I said you may not be able to. And again, it depends on how things can be spent at that point, because you have to account for these dollars in a specific way to our friends at DCA. Yeah.
Account for them and said these are going to be used to promote convention district in this community.
You probably would have a possibility of that, but again, grants, at that point, if you're taking a grant and giving it to somebody else to then run, you have a second level. I don't know how the state would deal with something like that.
$45,000 in grants, is that what you said?
Yeah, somewhere between there, yeah.
I know we at least got, how much did we get?
For techno-tourism?
Yeah.
It was probably around
$5,000. It was got a $5,000 one, but
so
that's just this one little one here. But when we talked to everybody, they basically the word I got, and this was me as a board member asking for direction from the paid staff we had, said, what gives y'all the most flexibility? What do most other entities do that operate cleanly without issue? And basically the 501c6 came back, which there's a reason that 75% of them in the state are that way, more than likely. And I tend to defer on that level. I don't know what the advantages one way or the other are really in terms of that, but from our research and when we asked our paid staff how should this all be functioning correctly, they said the 501c6 is the cleanest and easiest way to do this with the least amount of issues historically in the state. Because what's happened before, like I said, is some people think the authority, and you're a step away from the voters at that point, but then the authorities feel, or were doing, they were more likely to be the people who were doing, well, a sidewalk helps tourists and take the money and abuse it that way. I'm not saying that you are, but I'm saying that's what we ran into.
Are
yes,
you
sir.
Aware when doing your research of any advantages of it being an authority?
I honestly don't know. I mean, I'm sure there has to be an advantage, and the bonding thing is one of them.
Well, the bonding is the big one.
Let me clarify one thing that
Councilman Ross said earlier in terms of questioning the cost associated with putting that head into a bed. I think that question is a very good question, but that's independent of what model you follow.
It's all in the way it's managed. I agree with that.
Yeah, so both of those could be great or not great.
I understand that fully.
Go ahead.
Point of semi clarification, I said something because I was looking through the revenue code about this question on whether or not an authority, in this particular case, the CPD authority, could receive a grant from the state. And there may be buried into the statute preclusion that prohibits that, but I'm not aware of it. But I will share this with the group. A downtown development authority, an industrial development authority, and a city development authority, and a county development authority can receive grants from the state. We grant with them. But now, again, I'm not sure. There may be a preclusion somewhere in this revenue code. But so I just wanted to share that with you.
See, when we called DCA, we were under the impression there was a flat out, you couldn't get them. And that may have just been more of a practice than in the law.
So we have partnerships with CDBs across the state, and as Brittany will tell you, we have our cooperative marketing money, which is $1 million. And we, based on a competitive application process, those are grants, really. And the CDB can apply for them.
Techno-tourism,
and up until this budget year, we had product development that we did.
For those grants, have any of them been awarded to an authority?
Yes, and I can tell you specifically in my division, we specifically require the recipient to be a city, a county, or an authority. They, in turn, can have a memorandum of agreement with the CDB, and we did that on a couple of our grants. But there was a reason we did that. It's a little complicated, but we specifically grant to a city, a county, or an authority.
Anybody?
The code obviously allows the city council to set a review board.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's actually stated one way or the other, but we allow them to. It didn't say you can or you can't, but since it's silent on the issue, they do sit on the board. Because it was appointed by the mayor.
Mm-hmm. Let me offer up a personal comment with respect to something I was involved with a few years ago, and that was with respect to the development of the PCID. Back when the CID concept was relatively new, of course, the interest of the business owners and perimeter came to fore, saying that we need to do more with respect to us in a way DeKalb County, under CEO Leon Levitan, existed back then, realized that there wasn't sufficient funding to do that. So the CID concept came about. And there was discussion about how that board and that organization should be set up in terms of where was the control, where was the membership going to come from. And I think pretty early on, and I think this is one of the probably the best things about CEO Levitan, was recognition that allowing the private sector to kind of formulate the solution for their community, whether it was a nonprofit or in this instance a business-oriented group, was the way to go. And I think when we look back over the past 8 years especially, and how the PCID has been so successful under the successor to Leon Levitan, which of course was Vernon Jones, I think a lot of us are very grateful that seeing a change in administration did not negatively impact how effective the PCID was. And that's been a good thing. I think all of us would agree the PCID has done a great job. The second thing that the PCID has done, which I think is a good move, and it's working with the neighbors across the line, is to develop the marketing council and move forward with that, recognizing some synergies which may be present between the businesses on the Fulton County side versus the DeKalb County side as it relates to Perimeter Center as a whole. And I think that's going to be an important thing for the future, whatever model we select, whether it's an authority model or whether it's a C6 model. I would offer up to you from a perspective of looking at, who in the long run, which I define the long run as kind of when I'm not here anymore, when I'm off in the blue yonder like the rest of us will be, taxes and death are assured, is that the folks that have the vested interest, namely the hoteliers and the businesses, are able to focus on that vested interest, that does, I think, as Gabe was suggesting, grow the pie. And that, to me, is probably one of the most key things of setting up the model, is assurances that in the long run, that the business generated will grow that 3% that the city does get. Because I think we all can agree is the bigger and better that is, the less we, as individual homeowners within the community, I think as you've illustrated by mm-hmm. real numbers, mm-hmm. will have a very positive net income to net impact to the citizens as a whole. And that's really, in my view, the reason why this is such an important decision-making process. Because, in my day job, I do get the opportunity to work with a lot of cities throughout the state. Some are fantastic, and you tell that, you know, they're making very good, I use the term business decisions, but ones that pay off for the taxpayers as a whole. Others are challenged in terms of their decision-making process, in terms of why they go this route or that route, and I guess get to some of the nefarious things that you guys were concerned about.
And let me go back to what Bob was saying here. I can't remember. I know in our charter we have our millage rate cap. Do y'all have that in your charter as well? The millage rate cap?
Yeah, without a vote.
You have to have a vote in order to raise the millage rate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure.
See, and this is one of the few areas where we can...
Above 2.8.
Yeah. This is one of the few areas where city action can grow revenue without having raised taxes on the citizens, which is why we focus on it. Yeah, but those are other people.
That's your citizens. I love to tell people that come in to welcome the CBB and they want goodie bags for a wedding. We say, well, are you staying in the Marriott hotels? And they'll say, no, we're staying. Well, you can have 10. Well, these are my tax dollars. No, they're not. They are, unless you stay in a hotel, they're not your tax dollars.
But seriously, I mean, this is one of the few areas that cities like Johns Creek, Sandy Springs, and Dunwoody can grow our own pie. And that's one of the reasons we want to make sure that we have a very effective board that is able to, or not just the board, but actually the staff. Look at the staff's 10 times more important than board, in my opinion. I mean, we can, Eve and I and Diane and I, we all come and go. But as long as we have Kim Hughes, who is literally a rock star in the hospitality tourism industry in the state, we are in good stead. So staffing is the single, I don't care if you have six authority, I don't care, whatever. As long as you hire right, you're going to be better off in the long run.
And that's a good point. I mean, it's like any business in that respect, as you said earlier. The other thing, too, is...
And I've got a meeting in Lenox in 15 minutes. Okay, well, no way I'm going to make it, too.
Well, don't speed. I insist you don't become a super speeder.
I'm trying to help trauma care, damn it.
And if you don't believe me, read my editorial in today's paper.
Shameless plug.
It is. The Mike Jacobs, of course, who's a state representative who was very supportive of Dunwoody in its creation, of course, is just inside the perimeter, has legislation pending with respect to some of the issues you have raised with authorities across the board. And I think that's legislation which he plans to work on next session when I spoke with him in the past couple of weeks. And that's important because from his perspective, he has some of the same concerns that you've articulated here today with respect to authorities. And certainly in the prior, in today's article, with Sembler and his project, which... It's just astonishing to me that they were coming up out of the ground saying we need more tax dollars to help that vis-a-vis the DeKalb Development Authority. But, you know, those are some of the questions that, you know, one has to ask in terms of the different models. Mayor?
Quick question for Gabe. On the, what percent of your budget are you spending on your three staff?
I'm going to ballpark this. I'm going to say probably about, let's call it, with everything, let's say 12. It's around that, I think. I mean, because I know absolutely we pay Kim because we just did her budget review last year. We have our budget review coming up next month because we're on that same fiscal year as the state.
Council, do budget review or is it the board?
Board. Okay. I think we submitted to council, but it's not really, it's just some more of an information thing because we are a C6. We are considered, in our minds, a completely independent board, and we have a memorandum of understanding with them on how we deal with these dollars.
Okay.
I'd ask you the question briefly, but... Partners, you work closely with a lot of different partners within Cobb and Marietta.
Mm-hmm.
Who are some of those that, because you mentioned some of the C3s that you work with.
Within Marietta, our downtown Marietta Development Authority, our Merchants Association are some of our stronger partners, and we work very closely with them. In Cobb County, of course, the Cobb County CBB, we've always worked closely with them. We've always felt we were the yin and the yang. They focus more on meetings. We focus more on the leisure traveler, that type of thing. Then we have partners throughout the metro area. I mean, that's one of our stronger things. That's one thing Kim and I do together is the Atlanta Metro Travel Association. which is all the CBBs throughout the metro area, and we pool our money together to do. In fact, we're fixing to launch a massive internet marketing campaign on Atlanta.net, going out to like 250,000 to 500,000 people to market, you know, all the partners in the metro Atlanta area, and that. And help that was helped by a grant from the state. So, you know, you see, you know, that's...
Now, if the city doesn't like you, they can just terminate your contract, or not renew your contract.
They cannot renew my contract.
So you have to work for it every year?
Every year. But I've been doing it for 25, so that does work what I'm doing.
I think she does a good job. That's what I get the impression somehow or another, and if you've been to Marietta, they did a good job of a lot of things. Are there, I'll make one closing comment at the end, but are there any questions of our panelists, or general comments as well, because we are opening it up to the floor, for comments, suggestions about your opinion, because really, from you know this citizen's perspective, that's what makes Dunwoody unique is that we have the opportunity to voice our opinions in a way that we perhaps could not do it with DeKalb County. Councilmember Ross.
I certainly do that. Said on behalf of Dunwoody, we appreciate your coming out and sharing your expertise with us today. Certainly helpful from that perspective. I'm going to try to get over to the. Taste of Marietta.
Well, placed it.
One of our, we just completed this weekend our big festival, which is the Lemonade Base Festival.
Right, I heard.
Lots of people from Sandy Springs who came and joined with us, and they're a big part of our community, as you know. And we had 40,000 people at this event, which was up about a third from last year.
Wow. Where was it held?
At Kirkland Park.
Okay.
We do it every year since the tornado came through in 98.
Yeah.
And life gives you lemons, make lemonade. So, and it's a beautiful affair. This year we added a bicycle route around Dunwoody, which was our race. Uh-huh. But these are the kind of things that we think would work hand in hand with 501c3, Dunwoody Preservation Trust, is the sponsor of this event. And we work very closely, as you do, with our 501c3s here as well. The trust, the conservancy that we've set up to fund that Brookline Parks once we own it. We also have the Nature Center, and of course, the School Center for the Arts. All those today, the School Center for the Arts probably puts more heads on this because they have training classes and people in. I doubt very seriously that the Lemonade Days Festival that is a host of 40,000 people put a lot of heads into this at the Crown Plaza. But it is an important event for us. And we do have venues here in Dunwoody that we want to make sure are the benefactors of our CBD. These things can work hand in glove. We hope to have a Farmlight Museum using one of our beautiful facilities that Donaldson Chestnut has. We hope to have our Nature Center so they can attract people because of the resources that they have to offer together with the Sports Center for the Arts and perhaps other facilities that will be open up in the future. And that's the vision we have. So it's a win-win situation. It drives visitors to our facilities, which we make revenues out of, make that facility strong.
I think that's a good point. I mean, there's so many good amenities in Dunwoody that, irrespective of the organizational structure, work very well with the hotel slash business community. And the better we do that, then, you know, and I think that's always going to be the case. And that's as a past president of the School Center for the Arts, the largest art teaching institution in the Southeast United States. You know, they do a lot of good stuff here in Dunwoody, and that's the kind of thing we've always thought about spreading the word would actually encourage more people to do business here and stay with you all. But that's a good point. Any other comments? Yes, sir. Bruce.
I would like to share with you all, Brittany and I will be more than glad to come back at any point that you all would like to work. But we were having a conversation coming in here, but I've been in this a long, long time, and I've lived in Atlanta for 15 years, and I'm going to say this. I had difficulty finding you today. Now, you're from Dunwoody, and I'll tell you in a southern vernacular, y'all know where you're going, but the visitor does not. So one of the things you will want to work on once you get the mechanics of your CBD and the taxation worked out is wayfinding signage, clear, explicit wayfinding signage. And the other is, where's Dunwoody? The edges of the jurisdictional boundaries of the city need to be identified so that when a visitor or a guest arrives in the city...
Okay. You're a little early.
But there are lots of things, the simple things we overlook sometimes. And we have cities in Georgia that have been doing tourism for a long time, and yet they're directionally challenged, you know, at the local level. So we'd be glad to sit down and work with you. And in fact, if we get our funding back for our product development grant, we did some fabulous directional signage out in Carroll County with the county government, and it's some of the highest quality imagery that I've seen. So there's some, a little bit of money out there that you might get.
The city of Atlanta did the same thing with its downtown venue. I think they spent several million dollars from some very high-end, great signage that does exactly what you say.
Decatur.
Decatur's
a beautiful sign.
Yeah, Decatur's done a lot of great things that, on a smaller scale, akin to what our size is, we probably could emulate.
Now, wait a second. We would have to fight with DCA about putting our signage up for Sandy Springs and the DOT.
You called the wrong department.
Yeah, no, you called.
Small sign. A big monument sign, like Warner Robins. You know, big Warner Robins sign with the flowers? That's what we wanted in Sandy Springs.
What are you talking about? Well done.
Like a rose. Does anybody have any? Joe, do you have anything to add? Or?
Yes, questions I have. In your partnerships with CBB Activity, just historically, if we can get some comment on the involvement with the Chamber of Commerce as a natural partner.
Oh, absolutely.
Historically, how CBB was established and how they came from the Chamber of Commerce activities.
Well, I was independent and never was a part of the chamber. The Cobb CBB was and had then broke off and became an independent. But I've been a member of the Chamber of Commerce ever since the very beginning. They've always been great partners with us. But Judy can talk more about being a part of the chamber and how they...
Well, we actually started out the first 2 years we were in the Convention and Business Bureau. We actually were at Senate of the chamber. And actually paid rent into the chamber the first 6 years before we started growing and lived out and became a little bit more independent from that. There were some changes along the way. We went from a tourism department within the chamber to a CBB to being part of the authority, so there was some progression. But we are still, the COP CBB is still a very strong partner with the chamber. They both, the COP CBB is membership-based. They also have corporate sponsorships, which is a $5,000. So if you're just talking about partners, we actually had a $5,000 membership level in which they paid. And then the chamber and the CBB kind of swap those. So we are members of their chairman's club, and they are members. They're one of the corporate sponsors for the CBB. That's hard time saying us, and please, I don't want to hear.
It's kind of like this. Any other questions or comments from the audience of our panel? Anybody? I see Brad's here. Hello, Brad. Good. Thank you. Yes?
I could just say one more thing, because tourism is economic development. That is something that you hear over and over again in our industry, which is why we are a department of the GDECD. And that's another reason that we work so closely with the COP Chamber and their economic development. Because not only is it quality of life, it's a revenue generator and tax generator. So it's a very important part of that economic development structure.
Thank you. Joey, one last comment.
Maybe one more closing out point from our interest in this subject. Our chamber sees the CBB as our natural partner. Mm-hmm. One way we can work with the city, and we have put forth a recommendation to do this with the C6 entity. We've created the C6 entity, non-operated, to give to the city for this purpose. And when we talk about the multipliers, it's not the 2% that the Chamber of Commerce is interested in. It's not the 3% that it's interested in primarily. Of course, we want to grow that. It's the 95% of the business revenue that our businesses are going to see from our shops to our restaurants to our hotels. That's a very large number. And growing that is what the Chamber of Commerce is interested in. And I want to thank everyone for being here and participating. And anyone else can feel free to comment on this.
One thing that this is the second of a series that the Chamber is putting on. We are looking at two other areas, which I think will be of interest to all that are involved. One is looking at some of the business nodes in Dunwoody from a business perspective. Outside of perimeter, it's pretty well established, which primarily is Georgetown and Dunwoody Village. A lot of folks have great ideas about it. Our hope is to expand the number of ideas. For example, if, when we look at Dunwoody Village that way, it'd be kind of neat. Connectivity involving, you know, linear parks and creating a really business town center perspective. The other thing that is on the mindset is mobility within Dunwoody. So the perimeter is one of the busiest traffic generators in the state of Georgia. If you don't know this, know this. The top 10 most congested intersections in the country are 285 and 85, and 285 and 75, and the environs between, which put us smack dab in the middle. So what does all that mean when it comes to a little town like ours, and how does that impact us? And I think that when you look at mobility opportunities that we have in Dunwoody, that's a kind of question from a business perspective will be important to all the folks who have businesses here, which we hope to expand. And with that, I'll turn it over to Lindsay, and you can close it out.
Okay. Just want to thank everybody for coming. You know, as far as we're concerned, we consider, I'm not slighting anybody else, but we consider that the five hotels we have here in Dunwoody to really be marquee, especially in DeKalb County. I'll put it that way.
I agree with you 100%.
We feel like we've got an area to showcase and five hotels that are really amongst the best. So we just want to make sure that we as a community and we as a city make sure that we set the right plans and in motion to help you guys out in the future. And again, thanks for everybody for your interest. And make sure that you did sign the sign-in sheet. Put your email address on there. Not only will you get a thank you from me, but when I get the information from Teresa, I'll make sure I pass that off to everybody. Any other questions? Once again, thanks for meeting.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Bruce, okay, I appreciate you coming down.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You're on your hill, right? And
I hope it was helpful.
Oh, that's really right. Every bit of information.
And when I came, I said, I'm not sure what you're looking for.
Info.
Thank you.
but I'll be fine.
Absolutely.
I'll believe you.